Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion. As always, thanks so much for joining us. And this past Sunday, we were in How to Train Your Dragon. And where I really ended up focusing in on was this tension of identity formation. What we see typically are there's two primary identity formation types culturally. I'll explain that briefly. So there's a traditional, oftentimes Far Eastern identity tradition in which your identity, your sense of self and your self-value is based upon your ability to function within the desired role that the community assigns you. Oftentimes this is family-based. And so as a parent or as a mother or father or as a son or daughter, your role is to care and care for those in your family who are in need. And when you do that well, honor is given to you, and you therefore then have a positive sense of self, and you have an identity based upon your performance within your particular culture. Now, while that's a traditional value system, identity system, we certainly ascribe to it in many ways in our culture as well. And I think what we see in the initial parts of that movie is the Isle of Burke in this community was very much in a traditional value system. In order to receive honor, in order to receive acceptance, it was all based upon, can you kill a dragon? Do this thing, achieve this, and then you will be accepted. And we see Hiccup in the beginning of the movie sort of go through, hey, if I kill this dragon, that's going to get me noticed. If I kill this one, that's going to maybe get me a girlfriend. He goes on and on in these various things. Well, the challenge becomes he can't kill a dragon. And therefore, then his identity cannot be formed in the way that he believes it ought to be. He can't receive honor because he's not doing the honorable thing according to his community. And here's therefore then when the alternative identity formation system is introduced, and it's very much a Western system. In the West, we typically we deny my role within the community, and we emphasize my assertion of who I am in spite of my community. What's really interesting is when you begin to see these things play out and see these two major identity formation types, is you see how they're actually supported within the culture that they exist. For example, I used to teach conversational English to Chinese students living in China, and they have a single app that just about everybody in the nation uses, 1.4 billion users. The name of the app is WeChat. Why? Because in Chinese, Eastern traditional culture, your role within the greater community is your assigned identity, and it is therefore then your job to fulfill the role that you've been assigned. Then look at the West. We don't have WeChat. We have YouTube. We have, in 2004, what burst onto the scene and destroyed so many middle schoolers' friend groups and the hierarchy of friend rankings. Any millennial maybe knows what I'm talking about. We had MySpace, not WeChat. We have the iPod releasing in 2001 with the slogan, 1,000 songs in your pocket, not music for everyone. We have Burger King, have it your way, and McDonald's, I'm loving it. It's so me-centric, me-focused. And so then what we see in the movie is this subtle undercurrent of, hey, Hiccup, if you want things to actually go well, you've got to follow your true self. You've got to achieve your identity through the personal assertion of your personal values, and that is going to actually help everybody else. In rejecting the traditional form of identity and pursuing the modern form of identity, you're actually going to make everything okay, and that's what happens. He goes out on his own. He rejects everything. And the way that the movie sets this up is that he's right. And in pursuing everything independently in his own sort of westernized identity, he rejects all of the traditionalism. And it is his pursuit of the new that actually saves all of the old-fashioned ways of doing things. And subtly, what that does is it teaches us, hey, what's best is if you do what you want to do reject the norms of your culture, reject all of these things, you do what you want to do, that's actually going to save everybody else. Now, what I'm not saying here is that we need to actually adopt a traditional sense of identity. I'm also not saying that we should live out of a modern sense of identity. Both have its pros and its cons. Both ultimately fall short. In a traditional sense of identity, suddenly if the community that you've been living to appease goes away, so too does your identity. Suddenly if your role assigned in your family and your family member dies, there goes your identity. In the same or a similar sense, if the identity that you've created in a modern sense suddenly goes out of vogue, well then so too does your identity. You have to create something new. What we need is a Christian gospel-centric identity. It's a third option. And where we went to see that was 2 Corinthians 5:21, where the Apostle Paul says, "For our sake, he, being God the Father, made him, being Jesus, God the Son, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God." And so what we need to do is not base our identity upon the culture around us. We don't need to base our identity upon the internal desires within. We need to base our identity upon Jesus's work in our place. It's him in our place. He who knew no sin became sin. What that means is it doesn't mean that Jesus sinned. It means that God chose to destroy the Son. Now, one of my favorite pastors, Timothy Keller, said it essentially this way: God treats the Son how you and I ought to be treated, and he treats us as the Son ought to be treated. The Father chooses to crush the Son so that you and I could live in freedom from the condemnation of our sins. And what that should do is it should be a received identity versus an achieved identity. What we should do is we should respond to the fact that we have been made and declared righteous through faith in Christ. And we should see that everything I have, everything that I am, is dependent upon that reality, that he who knew no sin became sin. Why? So that I might become the righteousness of God. God sees you as holy. He sees you as righteous. Your sins are as far gone as the east is from the west. You're a new creation in Christ, says 2 Corinthians 5:17, just in this same context. So many incredible blessings are ours in Christ. And the question is, what is the identity that we're living out of? Is it a traditional sense? Is it a modern sense? Or is it a gospel sense where it's him in our place? So with that in mind, I want to spend some time praying for us. Say thanks so much for joining us on the Drivecast today. I do hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Father, thank you that you've given us a new identity in Christ. Help us to receive that through faith. Lord, help us reject the need to be approved by others to feel a sense of self-worth. And help us to receive the ultimate value that you've given us because, Jesus, you've chosen to die for us and to give us life through faith in you. So, Lord, we love you. Lead us into that truth today. Help us to discern where it is we're living in false identities, reject those, and really cling to you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.